You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
Problem is first a situation that needs to be solved. Something taking place in your life that needs to be worked out, needs to be dealt with. If you don't deal with it, it could get worse. Second, a problem is when someone has done something to you and you're mad. You have a problem with a person. Could be somebody you don't know. They're going to call you up on the phone and say, if you don't do such and such, this, that, and the other going to happen. And then when you try to explain, they tell you they don't want to hear that. They just want such and such. And so you mad because you got a problem with this person you don't even know. The only thing she said, her name, Angie. You ain't never seen Angie, but you got a problem with Angie. And finally, a problem is something that's got you stressed out, worried. Or as the old saying go on, pins and needles. Can't sleep because of a situation. Normally finish your meal, but situation has it to where you taking two or three bites. And when that happens, to some of us, we sure enough got an issue. The amazing thing about a problem is that a problem has the capacity to get you down, has the capacity to cause you to enter into a deep state of depression. Problem can cause your productive day to turn into a sluggish day. Can cause a person that's normally happy to take on a bad attitude. They got too quiet when I said it, when I said that right in here. Now I know I'm not the only one that a problem came up and then it changed my behavior. Change my response to people. You know, some folks normally you be there, how you doing today? Oh, everything is lovely. Or some of us we get spiritual, we'll say blessed. But when a hard problem comes, today is not a good day. I've had better days. Oh, you ain't blessed like you were 2 days ago? I don't have time for that right now. I don't have time for that right now. I don't feel like I ain't playing. You said you were blessed 2 days ago. I mean, and now you're not. See, no matter how rough your problem is, you can never lose your focus to the point to where you start acting contrary to the will of God. You especially can't start thinking and talking in a way that you have no business thinking and talking. Because when you get to talking stuff based upon what you're going through, you can hurt yourself. Come on, Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah, you're going through it, but you don't need to kill yourself with your mouth. I said you don't need to kill yourself with your mouth. You know, even though some of your day is not going good, you shouldn't put bad on all your day. Oh, good God, I better say that again. Even though some of your day is not good, you shouldn't put bad on all your day. Yeah, it didn't go this way this morning, but that don't mean the evening ain't gonna change things. That don't mean when it comes nighttime that it's gonna be a complete turnaround for you. Don't let your mouth mess up your whole day. That's good preaching. Tell somebody, don't you let your mouth mess up your whole day just cause you had an episode in the morning. Just cause you had an episode last night, don't wake up with that same nasty attitude. Don't let the night ruin your what? Say that to somebody. Don't let the night. Because problems gonna happen. Nobody is exempt from problems. You don't have enough money to be exempt from problems. You can't get secluded to the point to where you can forget problems. Problems still gonna happen. You can hide in a cave. A problem gonna find a way in that cave. Problem gonna say, I know she in here somewhere. She trying to get away from everything and everybody, but I'm coming. Problems come. And you can't ignore problems. Because they come. You can't ignore them. I will not listen to you. Bill, you don't matter. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because of that bill that you just told, you don't matter. If it's a light bill, you don't pay it, you gonna be in the dark. If it's a mortgage and you're 3 months behind, the sheriff is coming and gonna put your stuff in the street. Say to your neighbor, you can't ignore problems. You gotta deal with problems. I say you have to deal with problems. Contextually, the psalmist was having a problem, and the problem started affecting his soul. Yeah. Was dealing with his emotions. That's the first thing you need to know about the soul, is that the soul represents your emotions. Having some feelings within him that he didn't need to have. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes some feelings can come. And as a free moral agent, you have to make a choice whether you are going to allow the feelings to stay or to put the feelings out. See, you have the capacity to do either one. You can allow those feelings to stay embedded in you, or you can cast those feelings out. A lot of time we like to loose and bind the devil, but sometimes we need to loose them feelings that we have, because often it ain't the devil, it's just we in the flesh and we feel in a certain way and we need to loose certain feelings we have. He was dealing with his soul, with his feelings. And I don't know about you, but I have been to the point to where I was feeling something that I didn't know whether I was feeling the right thing or not. When it's like that, you know God ain't in the picture. Because he's not the author of. And sometimes you can be feeling something about a thing or a person, but you don't know if what you're feeling is right or not. I believe she's been talking about me. And see, your feelings are based upon what you either unheard or how a person was looking. And so you really don't know. You trying to get deep and figure it out. Your feelings are basically jacked up. We got y'all looking now. How many have ever been there? Come on now. So he was feeling something inwardly. But your soul also has to do with your surroundings. Because whatever you're looking at, whatever you're hearing, or whatever is going on affects your soul. You can see somebody doing something, and it can affect your soul. Somebody that you're close to can say something negative to you or put you down, and it'll start affecting your soul. That's an ugly dress. And the next thing you do, you go into the mirror. Now, 2 hours before that, you talking about how good you look, but then this person that said, that's an ugly dress. And you just, it messed with your soul. And so you go and you start looking in the mirror to see, because what that person said affected your soul. Somebody you love tell you, you make me sick. And it affects your soul. Some of us are to the point where we're so immature, we could hear somebody say something about people on TV, and it just so happens if they're talking about people that basically you're part of that group, it'll start to affect your soul. Professionals can say certain things that will affect your soul. And so you can have a problem in your soul based upon your feelings or based upon your surroundings. And I don't believe it's one person in here that has not been there before. To where something you heard affected your soul, something you saw affected your soul, or something that was going on affected your soul, or what somebody said to you affected your soul. And man, some of that stuff, again, if you allow it to get embedded in you, it's gonna be some trouble. because if somebody, say certain things to us that, and we already done said we having a bad day and they say it. Man, we'll go off on somebody. I'm just curious, how many have ever, since you've been saved, went off on somebody? See, some of y'all, that's personal. I say, there you go. If it's that person, I know you done went off on somebody. And so the psalmist, you'll notice that he asked his soul two questions. Or ask himself two questions. And I want to look at these questions again. Because I believe that I done hit the nail on the head in here. The first question he asked himself, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you depressed? You have been depressed and you really can't figure out why you allow yourself to get in deep sadness. Why this thing got me so sad? Why I let him get to me like that? There's something going on right here. It is. There's something going on right here. I got the spirit of discernment, but I don't even need it right here. Man, this woman got me where I can't even sleep. Jesus. Can't believe I'm this damn. I shouldn't have let them rile me like that. And so you just be to the point to where you're depressed in deep sadness. Folk call you and say, look, you going to Roberta tonight? No. Why you ain't going? Just got a lot of things going on right now. Just need some quiet time, need some me time. Why are you so low? Why are you cast down? Don't seem like nobody care. Get the line to yourself. If somebody care, you just your soul just done got in such a low place to where you want to have a pity party. Seem like somebody would call. I mean, man, you can get so low to where you'll just start tripping. Am I right? And then he asked the second question. Notice the second question. Y'all ready? Read it. Ready, read. See, y'all don't even want to read it right. Let's read it with a little more authority. Ready, read. Disquieted indicates that there is no peace. There is no calm. A confused soul. A tormented soul, because there is no peace. Just agitated. Why are you disquieted? Why is there such an unrest within me? Headed toward a stroke. Blood pressure rising. Eyes getting red like fire. Why? Because something is going on in the soul. I'm cast down and I'm disquieted. So something has put me in a hole. I'm down. And some folks, when they get in that condition, they stay there. Don't let them go see a psychiatrist. You bipolar. You are manic. We gonna have to put you on some medication. Try to help you before you snap, before you lose it. Because you are a danger not only to others, but to yourself. And you have people getting on pills. And the pills make them stay in a certain state. Lord, have mercy. Say to your neighbor, but it's a solution that does not involve pills. You better tell that to one more person. It's a solution. When you're down like that, it's a solution to come out of that, especially if you are a child of God. You against pills? No, but I'm just saying, before you get hooked on something, before you get to the point to where you become dependent on something, I want to offer you an alternative. You ain't no doctor. Oh, yeah, well, I ain't no medical doctor, but I am a doctor when it comes to the word. This what I prescribe right here. And I can give you a prescription from Genesis to Revelation. And it's guaranteed to help. And so if you will notice, the psalmist got to talking to himself. And notice the solution he came up with for his problem. It was to hope. Get this. In God. See, as a child of God, you have to analyze what you're going through. And you have to, based upon the scripture, prescribe to yourself what you need. Now, if you're a babe, you may not be able to do it. But some of us, we are old enough in God to where when we get to going through something, you ought to be able to say, I know what I need to do to come out of this predicament that I'm in. God, I'm going through it financially, but I don't have to keep going through all this financial turmoil. I'm just going to prescribe Luke 6 and 38. I'm going to give so to be given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now I'm talking to old folk right now. If you have been in church for years and you get to going through it financially, you ought to know by now that your way out of that dilemma is to give to God, because God will give back, as Paul said in Galatians, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. You sow, if you sow money, God will cause money to come your way. Am I talking right? Now, if you're a babe, you call somebody mature. You call somebody with some sense. You call somebody that's really close to God. Don't call no crazy church person. No, you don't call no crazy church person. Well, I'm going to know if they're crazy. Call and ask one of the elders, one of the ministers, or somebody who you can call. But make sure you call the right person. I'm serious about that. Make sure you call the right person. But you have to be to the point to where you can look at your situation and determine what you need to do. I said, you have to be to that point if you are a mature child of God. See, you don't need to forever depend on the pastor, the elders, or somebody else. You need to grow to the point to where you're able to look at your situation and determine, based upon the scripture, what you need to do. The psalmist looked at the fact that inwardly he was cast down and he was disquieted, and he said, my prescription is hope. Hope. I just need to hope. And I need to hope in God. Biblically, the Old and the New Testament, hope means, the primary meaning of hope is expectation. So basically, he needed to talk to God, and after talking to God, look for God to change something. Let me give you the biblical definition of hope. Let's go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Y'all quiet, especially in my middle section. They're going to be lively for us over there. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 24th verse. I need everybody to get there. If you haven't got there, because I'm going to read this. You got to get this. Remember I said before I read Romans 8, and I'm going to start at 24th verse, that hope has to do with expectation. You're expecting God to do something after you pray. But notice the biblical definition of hope. Romans 8:24. For we are saints. We're saved in this what? Hope. Say to your neighbor, biblically, hope equates salvation. You see it? We were saved in this what? Hope. Biblically, hope equates what? Hope is that which saves. Salvation, biblically speaking, is threefold. It first of all means it is that which delivers you. If you get to expecting God to bring you out, guess what he's going to do? Bring you out. Y'all still ain't responding where I want y'all to. Let me try it over here. If you are expecting God to bring you out, guess what he's going to do? Let's try it one more time right here. If you are expecting God to bring you out, what are you going to do?
Bring you out.
Y'all get that. We are saved in this what? But look at it, how he takes it further. He says, but hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, you have to hope while the problem is taking place. Expectation deals with whatever is happening in your life. When you know you got a problem is the time you need to expect God to move it. Or expect God to give you steps to come out of it. Hope that is seen is not what? For why should a man hope for what he what? Sees. But look at how the verse changes in verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, how do you act? We eagerly wait for it with what? In other words, you fight depression. When you're persevering, it means that you're going to be steadfast in being eager, steadfast in being enthusiastic, steadfast in giving God the glory, even though you're battling something. You're battling something, but what you're battling is not going to kill your praise. Yeah, depression is at me, but I'm still going to give God the praise. Yeah, it hurt, but I'm still going to turn in victory. You want Bible? James 1:1-4, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. 1 Peter 4:12 and following, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. Well, what you want us to do, Peter? Rejoice. See, even when you're battling something on the inside, you still got to give God a dance. You still got to give God a praise. You still got to give God a big old hallelujah. You still got to magnify him. You can't allow yourself to get embedded in your situation. You can't allow depression to take control of you. You have to take control of the situation. You can't allow unhappiness to tell you what to do. You got to put unhappiness up under your feet. Say to your neighbor, you can't allow your problems to keep you down. You got to deal with your problem. You got to deal with your issues. You got to deal with your money problems. You got to deal with your problems, no matter what your problems may be. Look at what he says. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it. With what? Perseverance. See, you know God gonna do it. Because he promised, whoever calls on the name of the Lord. Y'all act like y'all ain't no Bible readers. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And didn't I just tell you hope does what? Saves. If I call on him, he gonna save me. If I call on him, he gonna turn this thing completely around. If I call on him, better gonna show up and show out. If I call on him, he gonna do what the doctor said couldn't be done. If I call on him, he gonna make it work because he done already promised me all things work together for the good because I love him. But you have to have your hope in the right place. Are you listening to me? Can we take it further? Let's go to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're still talking about hope because the psalmist recognized that based upon being disquieted and cast down, he needed hope. And some of us are going through the same thing the psalmist needs. And so therefore, ain't no need in trying to write a new prescription. Let's just use the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Y'all better hold on. I'm almost done. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Say to your neighbor, hope equates faith as well as salvation. Now we done seen how hope equates what? Salvation. Now we're seeing hope equating faith. Now faith is the substance of things what? Say to your neighbor, we got this hope going now. Because now we understand that faith equates hope. And when you have faith, it says that you are a person that believes God will reward you. Ooh, I said when you have faith, you are a person. Your hope is at an all-time high because you believe God rewards. You believe God will cause you to prosper. You believe God will cause you to have good success. Some of y'all that let you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's drop down to Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please who? For he who comes to God must believe that he and that he is a what? Of who? That do what? Say to your neighbor, I got to have faith. And if I got hope, I got faith. Because hope equates faith. And God rewards faith. God rewards a person that has hope down on the inside of him or her. If you don't have faith, if you don't have hope, don't expect God to move on your behalf. But on the other hand, if you're looking for God to show up and show out, if you're looking for God to change your situation, if you're looking for God to give you step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if you're looking for God to show up in the midnight and cause change to take place, if you're looking for God to open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a breast and you ain't even got room to receive, you can know without question when you have hope that he's going to do exactly what he promised. Am I still talking right? And get this, 1 John 5 and 4. Let's go down. Lord have mercy. Woo! That's your neighbor. You happy yet? Say, that shout preacher preaching me happy. Because he gave me Bible. Is that right? 1 John 5 and 4. Now before we read 1 John 5 and 4, we have the understanding that the psalmist was cast down and disquieted. His solution, hope. And hope in God is what he knew he needed to do. And hope, according to Romans 8, 24 and 25, equates salvation. But then taking it further, hope, according to Hebrews 11 and 1, equates faith. And we know when it comes to faith, a hope that it moves who? God. To the point to where, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, he will reward you. Oh, but look at what it said here in 1 John 5 and 4 as we continue talking about faith. It says, for whatever is born of God. How many are born of God? Whatever is born of God overcomes what? And see, the world, overcoming the world has to do with overcoming the problems in the world. It's not overcoming the physical earth. It's overcoming the situations, the issues, or the problems that are taking place in the earth or the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes what? And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Say to your neighbor, it has to be your faith. Woo, you better tell somebody one more time. It has to be your faith. It has to be your faith. Notice it gets personal. It has to be your faith. I said it has to be your faith. Say to your neighbor, it's getting personal now. It has to be your faith. The victory that overcomes the world is what? The victory that overcomes the world is what? The victory that overcomes the world is what? Well, what kind of faith is he talking about that's personal? He's talking about the faith that's mentioned in the book of Romans, the first chapter and the 17th verse, where Paul said the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But he's also talking about the faith that is revealed in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 14th through the 17th verse, which says in verse 17, faith comes by and hearing by the word. But then the 14th and 15th verse says in part, but how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how the preacher going to preach except he be sent or anointed? Say to your neighbor, your faith is talking about the faith you get week in and week out. You don't just come to church to get the word of God. You come to church to get the word of God and to use it on your daily situation. You come to church to get the word and apply it to whatever you're going through in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. Are you listening to me? How many are receiving it? Say to your neighbor, I come to church to get faith, because faith equates hope, and I get hope because hope will save me, and I need saving because there is something going on the inside of me. What is it? Disquietness as well as cast down. But if I have faith, if I have hope, I'm coming out. Because the victory that overcomes the world, the victory that overcomes what's going on in my soul, is even my faith, which operates because I have hope in the one that can do anything. Say, fail. Will you tell me his name? Will you tell me his name? Will you tell me one more time? And I'm done. Let's give the Lord a big hand of praise.
Thank you for listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. Please stop by our website for more information on our church at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.